3 o'clock, I'm going to reconvene this meeting. This is the meeting of the Institutional Advisory Committee and the WNC Foundation Board. I'd like to ask if there's any public comment in Carson. Okay, seeing none at this time, and of course there will be time later on for public comment. Is there any public comment in Fallon at this time? Okay, so we welcome Dr. Kyle Dalpy to our meeting today, and he is a presidential candidate and finalist. And so we'll start with you if you'd like to just give some background on yourself, and then we'll have some questions.
Sure. So thank you everybody for coming out. It's actually really exciting to be here, and I'm going to tell you why. I drove up this morning, and I've driven this campus several times, and I didn't realize how beautiful of a campus it is. And I looked, and I stopped and took a picture on the side of the road with the snow-capped mountains and the sign out front and the college campus. And then I walked on campus and talked with several people this morning. I just realized that this would be a great place to work, and you should be very proud of everything that you've done. I know school has been very stressed the last few years since the recession, and I think from what I've seen from afar, it's a high morale, high achieving, poised to go great places institution, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad I made it this far, and hope to make it to the finish line. And so I can give a little bit of my background. Do you have time for, do I have a limit, or am I?
We have 45 minutes.
Oh, so I can talk, oh good, I'll just talk and there won't be any questions. So I grew up on a small town on a farm, which is true, but I won't start that far back. I worked in higher education for 22 years. 15 of those years have been in Nevada. And I leapt from the private sector, from a job in photojournalism into college instruction, where I started working as an instructor. For several years, where I really believe that everything we do at a community college in the classroom is the most important thing we do. Students are first and foremost. A solid academic curriculum is what we need to provide, and we need to have rock star faculty to deliver it. Everything else at the institution supports that piece. And I've never forgotten that. And I moved up administration, and as you see, my career path is very non-traditional. I've been all the way to the top, I've come back down. That's not because they didn't want me, it was an acting position similar to President Gant, so it was an opportunity. I've always grabbed those opportunities. I've worked at four different higher education institutions, one university, a two-year stopover, and I realized that I really like the community college environment. It's a good place to be, it's a life changer, it's what makes us able to really change the lives of people. And whether you, and vision statements always talk about life changing and reshaping the world and helping people succeed, and that's what we are all about, more so than I say the university, and that's where I feel like I have a really good fit, everything that we do at the community colleges. And so the skill set that I've gained over the years, and I can go into that a little bit, or maybe we can answer all the questions, has been one that I say has positioned me for this step, being a president. And when I served as acting president, I managed the institution with several accomplishments, that several issues that could have been kicked, but kept the momentum going, built the morale, and everything I've learned over my career has put me into the realm where I feel the skill set has made me a perfect candidate for this position. The second piece that we're driving up today is that the institution seems like I had assessed the culture. I feel I know a lot about community colleges. Higher education, I know a lot about the Nevada system of higher education in particular, welcome. But I don't profess to know a lot about any one institution because every institution is unique. And within every institution, there are different sites that hold their own uniqueness. So for example, Fallon, Yerington, the community served are all unique to Carson, which is unique in and of itself. And so, I know a lot about community colleges, I know a lot about the Nevada system of higher education, I know a lot about WNC, but to actually be here on the ground and walk in the door and feel comfortable, I feel like it's like a, I feel like I, you know, this would be a great place to be. I see this as a family, and you've already welcomed me in and out, and I'm happy to be here. It's 104 applicants, three to go. It's like, I'm gonna have fun talking to you today. I worked at a traditional community college in Kilburg, Texas, that had housing, athletics, small school in a rural area. Felt that it was a good job there. That's where I started instructing. Jumped to the university for a couple of years. Almost immediately came back to a community college in Arizona, Mojave Community College, which had at the time six academic sites, four campuses, two centers, over 13,000 square miles with the Grand Canyon right in the middle of it. So I feel like I have a pretty good idea of the rural nature of the community college district. Campuses grow their own culture, they have their own needs, students come from different backgrounds. And then I've spent 15 years at Truckee Meadows Community College, where we have five sites within a 20-minute distance. And that in and of itself is its own culture and development, a little bit more urban, but not really large scale city, so to speak. But I feel comfortable here. I've been at the Applied Technology Center for the last year and a half at TMCC. That's one site on Edison Way. And that is a culture that I walked into a year and a half ago. So 13 years at TMCC, and I'm gonna work my way backwards. My most recent role is at one of the sites. And that is a site where everything is get it done. It is mission critical, get it done. And when I came in the first day and I said, there's a pile of garbage in the middle of the parking lot and we need that parking place for a student. How do we get that cleared out? Do we need to put in a work order? And somebody said, no, I'll take care of it. And they had a forklift certification and they ran down there and they immediately took it and dumped it in the garbage. And I said, wow, we really do get things done here. Don't tell. And that to me is the energy I feel here, is that this is a get it done campus. You had to because of the budget reductions. I've been 10 years at the legislature, I've seen how the budget has affected all the schools in the system, in particular the two rural institutions. So worked at Mojave Community College for a couple years, and then worked at TMCC, where I have a number of accomplishments, a number of career path. Again, it's kind of like the org chart, kind of like a EKG or something, or maybe not an EKG, maybe, well, yeah, you always want your EKG to do this, right? Where's the health people? You always go like this, okay. So I started out in public relations marketing, moved over to fundraising. I helped spearhead a $25 million gift campaign. We renovated a center to the tune of $10 million. We opened the Allied Health Center, which is right up the road, 20 minutes from here at the Redfield campus. Both of those have Pennington gifts behind them, but at the same time, we raised a different grant writing, federal grant money, all of that done in the time of the recession. $25 million gift campaign with four initiatives, the Health Science Center, the Applied Tech Center, student scholarships, and then infrastructure support. And I think that's a big key because we were able to do that at a time when we were getting cut 34% of the budget as well. And although larger institutions didn't necessarily feel it as bad as smaller, we still felt it. And so we ramped up the fundraising. Very proud of that accomplishment. And then I moved into a role of chief of staff. I still led marketing and institutional advancement, but moved into a chief of staff role where I was very fortunate because the president at the time had said, you know, we need to work side by side. It was a non-traditional chief of staff. It wasn't just a special projects person. It was every time I'm off campus, you're going to be in charge. And every time she went off campus and I was in charge, something happened. Mm-hmm. So a lot of experience there, whether it's personnel or whether it's facilities or a fire or anything. So I gained a lot of experience, but one of the things I did in the 2 years that I spent as chief of staff was I ran the first ever enrollment management initiative on campus. Came out of the 2013 session, the new funding formula that is driven by completions, and we live and breathe by enrollment. Now that, there's two pieces to that are really, I think, the power of the formula, so to speak, is that it encourages us to provide access at the beginning, and it makes us have success at the end. And at that point, when students enter and then they complete, that we get funded on those students. It's no longer 8 weeks and then you can keep your Pell money and drive off campus, right? It's, you start here and we're gonna get you to the finish line. And that is how we get our funding. And that is mission critical for everything we do because that's, we're gonna live and breathe by the formula. And so I ramped up an enrollment management project where I talked about, where I did a study quickly internally about what was working, what wasn't, and I convened a group. And it was very interesting because it was kind of one of those initiatives where you need everybody's help but nobody reports to you. So you have to work in that political sphere of negotiation. But what I found was, and it's here, is more prominent, and it's usually at all schools, is that everybody wants to come to work today and do their best for student success, access, everything we do. A lot of times though, they're all doing this. They're just different initiatives. And by bringing them together and saying, we need to focus on three or four things, then we'll deal with our enrollment, because it's time we're dealing with decline. So by focusing everybody on the enrollment initiative, we were able to raise our enrollment by 4% in fall of 15, which, as you know, the even years are benchmark years. So right now we're reaping the benefits of a caseload growth this year and next year. But we had to bring everybody together and say we need to talk about completions, persistence, and gateway classes. Those are the only three things we want to talk about. If you have another project over here, save it until we stabilize the funding, and then we can work on that. So the enrollment initiative was key, and that's something that I no longer want to be in the weeds on, but it's a conversation that has to be on each campus the way that the funding structure is here in NCHE. It can't be discarded, it can't be put last minute. FY18 is a benchmark year. We measure it against FY16. We need to be starting talking about FY20 right now. Everything that we can do with enrollment to make sure it's okay. I won't get into the weeds on the performance pool, but we need to watch that too, or we could lose 20%. So I did the enrollment project, which I'm pretty proud of. And then I did the acting president job, in which I went first 2 days, or not even the first 2 days, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning I started. My two new best friends were the director of HR and the legal counsel. And I said, oh boy, we got some things to clean up. So there were some personnel issues. But the fun stuff came when I had to go in front. We had just had our accreditation report, and we received 7 recommendations, which was quite a few, actually. I understand you got 4, which is awesome, because usually there's 2 or 3 that are kind of just check it off the box stuff. So we received 7 recommendations in that first couple weeks that I was in the seat. I had to go to Northwest and justify how we should get reaccredited, which we successfully did by outlining a plan. So I built a plan around those 7 recommendations. I also was tasked with consolidating our police services, which was not a very popular discussion, but the way we did it made it successful. It was I understood the mission piece of it, the why we were doing it was to not have duplicate services 5 miles away with the university and the community college, so that we can then go to the governor's office and say, for our next budget year, look at how much we've saved, can we please have some more money? I mean, that's the basics behind it. So we did that, but it was not very popular. And I was able to work the institution through it with the help of the chief at the university. He worked his side, I was the liaison on our side. I walked that project through. At the end of the day, we maintained our level of service, and even, I would say, had better service, eliminated the administrative structure, and still saved some money at the time. And it was a board initiative, so we had to do it. And then there's other savings in the budget that was really instrumental. And then in the last year and a half, I have been working as Dean of Technical Sciences, where we've grown enrollments. We're the only division up at the college because everything seems to be talking about workforce so much, but I don't want to forget that we also have a transfer mission too. So I work with the liberal arts dean on that too. So it's been kind of a wild ride, fun ride. One of the things is, and I know you guys look at me, it's not the last one in the afternoon probably, but I always think I should bring humor to the crowd. So they'll be living in the desert, it'll be a dry humor. Okay. That's all I got. It's been a long day. No. But anyway, I truly believe in an institution that you can come to work, everybody's happy to work, fun. We have fun. We should have fun. At the end of the day, everybody's mission critical. And if we can't get things done, we need to find a way to do it and work within our groups. And so I expect to have questions on shared governance and decision making, maybe from other groups if that interests you or not. But that's kind of a broad overview of me, and I'm very happy with where I am. I think it's going to be fun to be here. I hope I can be your next president and lead you in different ways by bringing a piece of experience and saying, have you thought about this? And they say, no, I've thought about this. And okay, well, is there a hybrid, or maybe your way's better? But let me empower you, because I really believe in empowering the people that work in the organization to do the things that they do the best. So.
Great. Okay, so questions. Start with Rochelle. I'll just call you out.
Talking. Rochelle Tisdale, WNC Foundation. Currently, there are several interim positions, Mark being one, the Dean of Students. We have several. If you were to get this position, how would you fill them? When would you fill them? And what would your process be? I wonder what kind of thoughts do you have about filling those? And getting kind of a stabilized administrative staff.
Okay, so the key is that they will need to be filled and stabilized. The process behind that is going to be...
I'm sorry, hold on one sec. I apologize. Did we lose Fallon?
No, they're there.
So
So they can still hear us? Okay, good.
Okay, I apologize. I'm pressing play.
Where I found myself in the realm is back in the day, which is 10 years ago, you know, when we had budget reductions and people were retiring, we often said, so-and-so is going to do this as an interim. We're not going to backfill, so you get to do two jobs. And that's not fair to the person, but we all did it. You did it more down here than we did it at TMCC and some of the other schools. And then we'd say, okay, let's move that person to permanent. That's not really the process that I would use today. I have a number of interim or temporary grant-funded positions at the college. My position at the college is interim. They're all being searched, and I believe in searching it just to get the best candidate. And that actually helps with the person who gets that job actually not being having been handing it. It helps them do their job better. I found that out on the internal piece too. When we started a new initiative where, you know, when you have a vacancy, like a dean leaves or somebody leaves, and you say, well, so-and-so should do that. Of course so-and-so should do that. And whoever that person is, you put them in there. But then you realize there's five other people who might have been interested in it. So that's not fair either. So internally, you should do an internal search if you had a vacancy, like the VPA opening. And so internally, we're going to fill it for a year with an interim. There should be an internal search on that rather than an appointment, just to give a fair shake to anyone who's interested and let it fall where it falls. And then the national search after that. Did I get that all of the questions?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, go ahead.
So one of the biggest things that WNC has going, and I know TMCC has it going as well, is the dual enrollment and CTE programs for the high school kids. And it's become a big thing for the rurals out in Yerington, Fallon, Silver Springs, all of Lyon County. What is your vision for that program?
So the Jumpstart program here is the one that every other school seems to have modeled after. Done really well, a good job with that. And one thing is, and I know this question is going to come up, but the visibility of this institution and everything that's been done, all the good news needs to be out. So my goal would be to elevate the institution's awareness in the local community, state, and even federal level. The Jumpstart program, though, needs to be something that's needs to be scaled up. It needs to it needs to be maintained. And scaled up would be dependent on the schools, but maintained and invested in order to make sure that the high school students are getting the classes that they are interested in and that they need. In Washoe County, we find a lot of, not obstacles, but a little bit of resistance because of the AP classes, and you can't compete with AP, and so we have to be cognizant of that and be aware of that. But offering the high school students some piece of higher education in high school, I think it's amazing how many degrees you had here that were actually awarded. I think that is really good number, because they can go straight to the two-year school, they go straight to work. And so it needs to be maintained and even expanded as we go, because it's something that will drive enrollment and at the same time provide access to students who may not have that access otherwise, and maybe don't want to start college right when they graduate high school, they want to get a jump start. One of the things that would be the best thing for high school students is if they could finish their gen ed in high school. English, math, and science. That way they're not coming in, doing an active placement and going, which I'm sure there's alternative placement here like we did in Washington County, which we did because they were looking at the active placement and going, oh my gosh, I'm in remedial math for 3 semesters, or I'm in remedial English. If they could do the dual credit in high school for English 101, maybe even 102, and do the math 120, 126 sequence, and maybe even biology 190, and get the gateway and then maybe even the science requirements out of the way, that would position them to come into the school, come into the college, or finish their degree while they're in high school. And so it's definitely, it's a viable program. It needs to be maintained, discussed, resources need to be put around it. I also am aware that everyone at this institution is wearing multiple hats, right? I mean, and so at some level, there's gonna have to be a build back on the resources behind that, because the Promise program kind of came up out of, now there's so many resources to manage that, but it's a benefit, it's an access point, so we have to invest in that. So ramping up, but not ramping up to where it's beyond the staffing capacity until we have Did I get both parts? You had to.
Yeah. With CTE too, and I think you kind of addressed that because you've done the applied tech and stuff.
Yeah, the CTE is one of those that the trick with the CTE that I found is we created an accelerated program, built enrollment at TMCC, and got them out the door to work at the Gigafactory. But the three things that employers ask for, then they look at me and they say, if you could do these three things, Emily probably knows. The three things: pass the drug test, show up on time and be able to read and write. And those are nothing we do in this, I mean, we do them in the CTA, we sometimes embed them, but the student needs, we need to be looking at giving them the whole package as they go out the door so they'll be successful. And if they go out the door with a short-term program, they come back and do that piece just so that they're not lost in the workplace and don't have room for advancement or possibly run into trouble when they can't communicate. We can't do much with the drug test, obviously, but and maybe a little bit of the college prep stuff and awareness, but and showing up on time, we can do a little bit with on the career seminars, but the actually getting the transfer education piece into it is important.
So are there any questions out in Fallon at this point?
I have a question, Dr. Dalby. Rural campus, rural college, multi-campus institution, you had experiences in dealing with it, and I know you know that it's different in Nevada than it would be maybe in an urban area where your campuses are 10 miles away.
Yes.
But how would you grow and build the rural centers, rural campuses, i.e. Douglas, Fallon, and also the rural centers, i.e. Yarrington, Fernley? How would you build the programs in those areas?
So hold on, before you answer, can you announce your name and for the record?
Yes. Buzz Sharman.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So every community college serves a unique population. Every community college is unique because of that. And each community, if they have a center related to another college in another town, is unique in and of itself. That's the nature of it. And so the discussion of what programs to offer or what services to offer, how big that center should be, how big the footprint should be, needs to be discussed amongst that community. Any of the communities served, going out into those communities and learning what is needed by the community. There might be a certain employer there that requires specialized training. There might be a group of high school students who have no access to AP classes, so they need some jumpstart classes either in the high school or at the center. So going out to those communities, how I would do it is go out to those communities and lead the discussion on what is needed in those communities, what is wanted, because it could be non-credit, it could be credit, slice and dice. And not, I would never come in and say, we're gonna do this because we think you need this. It's a discussion with the community on what needs to be there, and then finding the resources to support it. And I don't know how far the reach of the foundation is, but those local communities will ramp up around an initiative that is in their local environment more quickly than they would in an initiative that's at a campus an hour away in Carson City. So looking at that, exploring what the needs are would be first and foremost, and then trying to implement those and staging them out. Managing from a distance is difficult. I believe that the job of president, because I've done it, is half inside, half outside, and there might be a whole lot of driving time in between that, but that's okay with technology. You can get phone calls done, you can do all kinds of stuff. No, we'll text and drive, but you can use your time wisely. It's not just a lonely road. But there's communities in between there too where you can stop off and talk to people. And being visible, working remotely, talking to the external community or the communities in the rural areas is key to on the outside of the institution. And then being visible on the inside of those institutions, those facilities as well, whether it's Carson, Fallon, anywhere.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Michelle Joy.
I would like to ask a follow-up. Can I ask a follow-up question and then I'll be pretty much done? Is that all right?
Yeah, of course, Buzz. Go ahead.
The question I have, and Kyle, it might be, and I don't mean to get down into the weeds because it's not something that you would want to do with this, you know, in this position right now, but in order to give you an example, I will. I believe this president is going to have to make some paradigm changes and is going to make some very hard decisions. And so my question is, are you willing to make hard decisions? And to ask that question, I need to give you a couple of examples. The nighttime program in Fallon has been decimated over the last 15 years, where Fallon used to draw a head count of 1,400 students in the late 90s. Now it's lucky if it draws 400. And I personally believe a lot of that is because the nighttime program has been decimated. The Douglas program as well, I think you could look at the schedule and see that that schedule has changed incredibly over the last 10 or so years. And you can look at that and also see that the enrollments have been affected dramatically because of that. So even though Jumpstart might be doing very well and the high school kids might be coming in and taking classes, as far as the adult working student who would like to come to Western Nevada College in order to upgrade their education and upgrade their employment, those kinds of opportunities after 5 o'clock are gone or very, very limited. So my question is, are you willing to make the tough decisions to look at the data, take some risks, and make some changes in order to bring back the adult working student?
So the mission of the community college is the full spectrum of ages. So the Jumpstart's one piece, and then the non-traditional, anyone 24 or older, is the other piece. And that's not where most of the numbers are down in the 18 to 24 year olds. So we need to be looking at how we're serving the community, because that's our purpose. So to answer your question, yes, I am willing to make tough decisions, whatever those decisions are. I will absolutely do it in a transparent nature, which would require feedback from all stakeholder groups on any decision. So in particular, this question would be the community out there and convening a group and saying, give me your feedback, and then to look at it one way or another. But to be able to serve that population, look at the data, and then take chances, I'm also not a huge risk taker, but we are at a fortunate turn in Nevada where we can start thinking about dreaming again and people being happy about, you know, I have some goals, like I want to start up a nighttime program, and we have some resources to do that. Whereas 5 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. And I'm definitely not one of those people who remembers the old days and says, we're not spending money on anything. Because I found this in the culture at TMCC. There are some people that we were in so bad times for so many years that they forgot how to dream and how to think about, you know, what's the vision. And so by mapping it out, I think we can get there. Making the decision on the data and saying, I'm going to take a risk on this because I believe in it, is something I've done. Now, we can't ramp up a program for two students either. So we have to think about that from the perspective of there will be a startup and maybe a three semester build, and if it doesn't continue to pencil out, we may have to pull it back, or we may be off and say, yeah, this worked. I mean, that's how I would approach it, and it makes a tough decision to say what, you know, whether it's viable going forward or not. But I think if you have a community that had 1,400 headcount, and now there's nothing, or 400, whatever what the numbers were, I think there's something there if there's a need. But one of the things you need to watch out too is that with the unemployment rate so low, many people are working and may not try to access those classes either. So consuming the data, talking to the people on the ground, and making the decision, I won't have a problem with that, and it won't delay it. Because once, I like to get the feedback, but once you have a projected return on investment, to make a tough decision here, you'll see that return on investment faster if you make that decision quicker. And in higher ed, quicker could be 6 months sometimes, but it's quicker than letting it go a year and a half where you're simmering in the background not doing anything. Because then it never seems to get better and you never see the return.
Excellent, thank you.
Thanks, Buzz. Michelle.
Michelle Joy, IAC. So you've had acting president experience, and you know, when you're in that president role, it's different than being second in command or in another executive leadership type position. What learnings can you bring to WNC from that acting president role, or what would you do differently now that you've had that experience and have been in that position?
One of the things that I learned is how to really orchestrate a group to do a project. And I didn't say that very well, but it's to be able to mobilize a campus for a common goal, whatever that goal is, whether it's the police consolidation, accreditation, or enrollment. Kicking off the welcome back. I've learned that there's a lot of, there's quite a bit of value in grassroots efforts to start up, to really, really say, let me build support from the bottom up on an initiative, because then those are the people that will speak to it. Rather than nothing seems to work top down. And so that's where your support is, and that's where they'll rise to the challenge. So when the system talks about, and again, I'm not a naysayer, and it's happy times, and I want to support the dreaming. However, I don't trust the economy. So I imagine at some point there may be a little bit of a downturn, whether it's 5 years or 10 years out, I don't know what you got me sitting down here, figuratively or not, but we need to be cautious going forward. And so if we ever had to enter budget discussion talks, or if we ever needed to talk about sharing services, there's a way to do that on the campus level. And I learned that as acting president, as a way that we can all be on the same page about it and somehow build consensus around it and make it happen, or build a good argument for why it shouldn't happen. But having that discussion is key. When I went into the acting president role in January of 2016, and I did my kickoff, which was fun. If you talk to people, they're probably like, he's crazy, because I brought a puppet, because I used to love the Muppets, so I brought a puppet with me. And then everyone looked at me like I was crazy, but it was enough to just shock the system and say, this is gonna be different, okay? You're looking at me like I'm crazy now, sorry. So I want you to know what you're getting, okay? There's Muppets in not every presentation. But the thing was, is that the faculty senate chair at the time had got up on stage because I had given 5 minutes to each constituent group and said how bad the divide was between administration and faculty. And I learned then that I could do a couple things on how to bring that person around. I don't like the word buy-in, I don't like that phrase because it sounds like coercion and arm twisting. But being able to manage relationships within the organization is the biggest thing I learned. If the job is all about relationship management, what is worth deciding over that might be controversial that you have to do? What might be handed down to you? What's worth, be honest with you as a president, what's worth and not worth losing political capital over? That person then said to me a different, and I apologize, I don't think I said it here, but I said I use this example, said to me in a discussion point about, we were talking back and forth about something, and said, the phrase was, the faculty and the administration are never going to get along until you people start listening to what we're asking for. And I very politely said to that person, I don't know if we're going to be able to have a conversation if you keep using terms like you people. But I didn't do that in a forum. I did that on a one-to-one conversation. And that was the key, because then that person looked at me and said, you know what, let's restart. And we restarted, and at the end of the semester, the campus groups were practicing what I would call close to ideal shared governance. The campus morale was up. We were voted one of the best places to work, or nominated, we would get the prize. But all of that was a shift in a 6-month period. And so I don't see that you have a lot, you never pick this up, and we can pick it up a little bit, but I haven't picked it up yet, that there's issues here that need to be fixed. But at the same time, there will be issues that come up. And being able to have that conversation from start to finish with the leadership groups is something that I excel at. And I learned that and perfected it in that role because I joke about it. I served as acting president. I told President Gann, I don't know if I'm going to write a sitcom or a novel, but it's going to be one of the two, maybe a miniseries. But at the end of the day, doing that and being able to live and tell about it is just, I felt it was negotiation all day, but it was good negotiation because that's what it is. We live in a world of critical thinkers. We hire faculty and even staff to critically think. And so we should not act surprised as a leadership team when we say, what do you think of this? And they say, give us the data points why they hate it or why it's bad or good. At the end of the day, that's the discussion. So that feeds into decision making. We make a decision, whether it's on board with everybody, you can never make everybody happy. Trust me, I've been a president before. I've been a president of a little league. You can never make everybody happy, I'm just saying. But at the same time, you can have people that really support what's going on out the door because it was some either negotiated or something that everyone can live with, and maybe next year it's a bigger picture kind of thing. So I drifted a little bit, but the thinking there is what I was getting at for the presidential seat.
Go ahead.
Michelle Tidsdale, Foundation. As role of president, what would you do to support the foundation, communicate with the foundation, support the executive director, build relationships, communicate needs, maybe a little blend of your own or
So every time she asked me to go to a lunch with a donor, I'd say yes. How about that?
Yeah.
And then I'd say, we please go somewhere else. I've done quite a bit of fundraising. I've set up, and again, don't get this wrong, I have no interest in getting back in the weeds on fundraising, but I'm here to support it because I know what's involved. And setting up a campaign for special need or just being good stewards of the dollars that you have by taking donors out, donor relations, that kind of thing. That's the role of president. I mean, and sometimes it's faculty, and sometimes it's other administrators who need to go. But generally speaking, donors want to talk to the president first, and then I'd like to bring faculty with program specific because I think that's great. But it's external communications, it's awareness, it's talking about telling the stories of the institution. It's being there. It's showing that you support the institution by making your own gift, which I've done, and kicking off campaigns, being visible, telling the story. I think I'm going around circles on that, but that's what you get. It's basically external communications, and I have to learn. I've done that, and there's a balance, and whether it's 50-50, because all of that takes you off campus, and then you have the internal group saying, well, the president's never around, so you have to be on campus, and you can mix that because there's a theater. There's sports activities, the soccer, you can have donors out for that, you can have them out to do the sky viewing at the observatory, tour of the machining lab, all that. You can have them on campus for whatever, and at that point then you can have a meeting and you say, you know, you can either make the ask or set up a proposal or whatever we're doing. So we were very structured. When I worked in the foundation, I used to have blocks of time for the president that I'd say, I need to know if you're available. These two, every other week on Tuesday, I need to have a slot. And then you fill it. If you don't fill it, I get time back. The president gets time back. If I fill it, you're going to lunch. So I think it's always Glen Eagles or do you go somewhere else?
There's only a few restaurants here, so.
It's okay. And that'd be the same for the
alternate.
And that'd be the same for the communities too, that it's going out there. I spent a lot of time in my current position. My current position is actually, I feel like it's more of a horse race than it was when I served as president, being out about presentations for every group, tours for every group, being visible. I got called last week to go testify in front of the House Appropriations Committee in D.C., and I couldn't do it because you can't turn around fast enough. But those kind of things are going to have to be priority. And again, not at the expense of something internal, but it needs to be there.
Okay, so we have time for one more question before public comment.
I have one more from Jeff.
Go ahead.
Okay, Rochelle Tisdale, Foundation. This is from another member. He wants to know, why do you want to come to Western Nevada, Carson City, Fallon, Douglas? Why do you want this position?
So I really enjoy and feel it a fit to live in this region. And one of the things they tell you when you're in those workshops for how to be a president, which I've attended a couple, is find an institution that's a fit. And I believe this institution's a fit. I look at the culture, I look at the family nature of it, I look at the hardworking people, and I say that's a get it done group. I've a little bit of an advantage over the other two candidates because I live in the next town over, but I've seen it grow. I think it's poised to do great things. There's no surprise you have that many applications because it's fiscally stable. You're looking at a strategic planning process going out of the chute. The accreditation came back pretty much okay. I mean, there's not much there. There's always assessment. That's always the big hurdle, but that's one that we figured out. And I look at it and I say, this institution has been here, and it really could be here. Now that we've got some resources, and I'd like to take it to that next level where it becomes visible. I've sat down in Carson City at the legislature with a north-facing window and had a legislator ask me, where's Western? And I'm like, you can see it. So I think you don't want a best kept secret. You want visibility on all levels. And I'm like, that excites me that it's poised to do that. And I have a commitment to the region, to the system, because I've spent so much time here, I have so many good relationships that I can leverage in this position statewide. To me, the institution's a fit. I feel like I'll get to know the culture and I'll be real happy about that. I've already felt it walking in here. I don't think there's anything that I miscalled and said, wow, I didn't see that coming. And for me, it just feels like a fit. And then I think that's the piece that'll help me be successful here. Plus, there's all the work that's been done. And the group that's here that I hope everybody's staying, you know, the group that's, you know, here to help keep it going, and just there won't be much of a learning curve at all. So.
Okay, so public comment. Do we have any public comment in Carson? Okay, seeing none. Or is there any public comment in Fallon?
Since I had to leave.
Say that again. I'm sorry, Michelle.
Can I question?
Absolutely.
Candidate?
Go ahead and state your name, please, for the record.
I'm Michelle Dondero, and I'm retired Western faculty. I want, as you probably know, Western's enrollment's been flat since the recession, and the funding formula changes. How do you propose to increase enrollment at Western?
So the funding formula, we live and breathe by the even years, the even fiscal years, and so matching that from one.
The conference is about to end.
Okay, I'll talk real quick. there's several things here on the funding formula, but to increase enrollment, I would increase the visibility of the institution within the communities it serves, and within the state, because I think it deserves that attention. One of the things about the funding formula, though, is that it's not necessarily based on people in the door. It's based on completions, and the completion rate right now is overall hovering at about 75%. And by bump, actually, it's more beneficial from a fiscal standpoint to increase the completion rate by, I think you can go 5% easily. 5% by wrapping around services for students to complete their classes than it is to actually get more students in the door. And with the economy the way it is, where everyone seems to be working, low unemployment, some of the counties, Lyon County has a higher unemployment rate than the state, that kind of thing, but generally speaking, everybody seems to be working. And so enrollment's gonna grow in the K-12 populations, which will naturally happen with the Nevada Promise Scholarship Program next year. You'll get more students because of that, and I applaud that program. If you saw it on my resume, I helped draft that. I was the Northern Nevada person that liaisoned with the three schools. Hopefully it works out to where we can get it funded again. That'll build enrollment naturally, and then as we talked about earlier, expanding out to the populations of non-traditional students, and the biggest one there, because there's not a whole lot of, anybody who wants to work, I just saw a sign, anybody who wants to work seems to be able to find work. When In-N-Out Burgers, I was driving over the mountain, In-N-Out Burgers hiring at like $12 to $16 an hour, I mean, we're competing with the minimum wage being increased, and so that's very attractive to people, but at the same time, degree attainment's even more attractive. And so getting the incumbent workers to have some sort of degree program for some stability going forward is key for their lives and to change their lives, but also will help us with the enrollment pipeline. When naturally unemployment rate goes down, our enrollment should go down. But we can buck that trend by looking at new populations to serve.
Okay, is there any other questions?
How long do you have to complete the degree? Is it 4 semesters?
Which degree?
Completion?
For associates?
Well, the funding formula is based on somebody starting a class at the beginning of the semester and getting a letter grade at the end of the semester.
Oh, it's semester to semester.
Yeah, so if they get an F, we actually get funding, which is kind of but we still get funding because if those instructors, you put more resources into a F student than you do an A student.
It's gonna shut up.
So the funding formula is though that completion rate, you don't want somebody to drop out with a W. or withdraw from the class, you won't get funded. So
it's called an unearned F.
Yeah, or the unearned F, or non-attendance. Mm-hmm. So, but by pushing that, you actually match your completion numbers from the even fiscal year to even fiscal year. That's why you're getting some funding. So in the example here, you're up from last year, but you're down a little bit from 2 years ago. So that's why you're going to see a little bit of a budget reduction going into next year. Not too much that I would worry about it, but at the same time, you're going to.
Okay, so it'll shut off in 2 minutes. I just want to make sure that we resolve everything here, come to conclusion. Any other questions? No? Thank you so much, Dr. Dowdy, for your time. There being no further business to come before the WNC IAC and WNC Foundation, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you,
Fallon, so much.
Were you trying to signal?
No, she was talking to her, not you.
Okay.
So I was sitting up there. I was like, that's an expensive pantaloon.
Yes, I knew it was there.
Thanks for coming.
And then I walked in.
I knew it was yours.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.